I do invite you to turn once again to Colossians chapter 3. And our whole family says thank you to Dr. Marriott and to Maranatha for our Maranatha wear. I thought about saying propaganda, but I didn't know if that would be appropriate. So I didn't say it. Anyway, it's been a wonderful week. It's kind of hard to believe this is our final evening service. If I were to have a regret for the week, it would be that we don't have more time, I guess, really would be my regret. And I still, there seems like there's a whole bunch of you I still haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, and that's kind of a regret. But I guess there's only so much time. And I'll just say again, I'll be available tonight after the service right down here. And after that, my wife and I will probably just head over to the coffee shop area, and we'd love to meet you, love to talk to you. And again, specifically, if there's any way we can help you from God's Word or be helped in any way, it'd be our privilege and delight to do so. But our time is going quickly, and I want to just say, as we get ready into our passage tonight, we're going to be going through the end of the chapter, but we're actually going into the following chapter. I think most of you understand that in the original language, the chapter divisions weren't there. And this is just my opinion, okay? I'm not a scholar. I kind of think they missed it on this one. I think the thoughts of this chapter actually go down a little bit farther. So tomorrow morning, we're going to deal with some verses that I believe where it actually kind of ends the thought in this chapter, down chapter 4. And so, but tonight, we're going to be looking at a couple different areas that really kind of hit right where we live. Remember, our life in Christ affects how many areas of our life? All of it. Everything you are and do. Now, I just want to say, when I was a youth pastor, I had kids, and they're in high school, and they think it's all crazy, and they come and they say to me, "Oh, Pastor Brent, oh, it's so busy. My life is so crazy. I mean, high school is just so hard." Yeah, you laugh too. Yeah, I'd say, "Oh, I said, wait till you get to college. You're gonna look back and say, what did I do with all my time when I was in high school? Right? Yeah." I said, "You're going to say, man, I wish I was back in high school." "Oh, Pastor Brent, there's no way." But they come back after their first semester at school. You know what they say to me? "You were right. It's crazy." I say, "Are you ready for this one? Guess what? Guess what happens when you graduate and get into life? It smacks you in the face." I said, "You're going to look back when you get out into life and you're going to say, man, I wish I was back in college. I mean, I only had two classes on Tuesdays, and I had time to talk to friends, and life was so pretty easy back then compared to what I'm enduring now." Well, look, don't have to be a lifelong student, I'll tell you that. Don't be afraid of that, because when God is preparing you here for what He has for you, you get to step out in life and live to what God has called you to be, whatever your vocation is for Him. Remember, it has value not in what you're doing, but in who you're doing it for. And it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're maybe cutting lawns, you might be fixing plumbing, you might be hooking up wires, you might be administering medicine, you might be teaching kids, you might be crunching numbers. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do, you're doing it for Christ. And now we're going to see how our life in Christ affects the way we work. And this is, you've probably noticed the points of the messages haven't been overly exciting and, creative. Well, we're just trying to be accurate with the Scripture. He said there's two challenges tonight. Number one, be a good employee for Christ. Number two, be a good employer for Christ. Those are the two categories. So look with me, please, as we jump into our message tonight. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 22. He says, servants. The word means slaves in this context. However, since, praise the Lord, we have no slavery, although some of you in your work may feel like you're in bondage, it implies to those who work for someone else. Here's what he says. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respect of persons. He really spends, all these verses are talking about being a good employee, how you conduct your life, how you live out the gospel, the kind of testimony you have as you work. And here's what he says. Look back at verse 22. He says, obey. You know what word that is? This is very interesting. The word obey here is the same word that we found earlier where it said, children, obey your parents in all things. Same Greek word used here. And the idea here is this. You are to submit, to yield, to obey your masters, it says now, according to the flesh. That's the human bosses that you have. Is that easy all the time? No, it's not. But do you realize that the power of the gospel can be reflected in the way you simply respond to your earthly authorities, to your earthly boss? He says, obey your masters according to the flesh. Why? Here's why. Because you're supposed to obey your heavenly master, who is Christ. And the way that you obey your boss is a reflection of your walk with Christ. By the way, let me just say this. I had the opportunity as I traveled to talk to different people, and it always thrills my heart when I hear guys who hire Christian teenagers or college students and they tell me what great workers they are. It also saddens me when I hear guys who say, you know, I'm trying to help a kid out going to Bible college. I bring him in. He's never on time. Anytime I tell him to do something, he argues with me about it. She is contentious with the worker. She causes division among the girls in the office. They're stealing my time. I have to tell them that they're stealing my time because they're texting and they're on the internet while they're supposed to be working for me. And on it goes. Can I tell you something? That is not your role in the workplace for Christ. He says, you obey your masters in a way that is Christ-honoring so that your testimony for me is right. Now look at how he says you to play this out as our text continues. Look at verse 23. He says, and whatsoever ye do. What is the context of this whatsoever ye do? The context is your labor, your work. That is the context. Whatever you do, no matter what your job is. So it doesn't matter if you're cleaning toilets, if you're carrying out the garbage, if you're flipping burgers, if you're washing cars or changing oil, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter what that is, but the context is your work. He says, and whatsoever you do, no matter what your job is, he says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The idea here, you could actually translate this word, do it heartily, is the idea of a single or sincere heart. You're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for man. You're not doing it for their praise. It's not for outward reward. It's not for accolades. It's not so that you can be noticed. You're doing your job as to the Lord and not for people. You know, this year, as you're here at Maranatha, if you've got a student job, you're on campus and you're serving, whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're on cleanup, you're cleaning up the gym, it doesn't matter what your job is, remember this. Ultimately, your service and labor is to be done for Christ no matter what you do, so you do your best for your Lord. And when you go out into life and you hit the workplace, you do your best for the Lord. You do it with a single, sincere heart out of love for God, and it's as to the Lord. Look at the next verse, please. He says this. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. There's a focal point here. He's saying this. Look. Know this. Have this understanding. It's an idea of confidence. That of the Lord you will receive a reward from His hand. Because ultimately, here's what He says. It's so interesting in this passage. Ultimately, who are you serving? The Lord Christ. Hey, you Maranatha staff, you faculty, guess what? Who are you ultimately serving at this institution. You're serving Christ in everything. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be a dean. You can have your PhD. You might be whatever it is, whatever your position is. You're ultimately serving the Lord Christ. And by the way, understand this. And I say this very kindly. Look, you can be executive. You can be a dean. You can be a teacher. And you might be the guy who mows the lawns. All of us serve the same Lord. Same Lord Christ. And as you go out into the world and you labor, remember every job. Some of you right now have jobs in this community. Can I tell you this? You are not representing Maranatha Baptist University. You are representing Christ. And if your work pleases Christ and is a proper reflection of Him, it will automatically be a good testimony for this university. But if your focus is being a good testimony for this university, you've got a wrong focus. You are serving Christ. And that affects the way we live and it affects the way we work. But He says this, know that God Himself will reward you. The phrase here is the reward of the inheritance. Here's the idea. It's a reward that you have earned by your labor and living for Jesus Christ. This is what you are one day going to receive from the hand of God Himself. But there's a warning that follows this encouragement. Look at what He says in the following verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Here's the idea. God will judge fairly. You don't do right, you do wrong. God says there is a just recompense for the wrong that you've done. He said, by the way, there is no respect of persons. God doesn't care how many letters are in front of your name. He really doesn't. God does not have a respect of persons because of how much money is in their bank account, what social standing they have, or how many abilities they have. He says, there is no respect of persons. In other words, God deals with us, and if we could use the word judge, which we'll see in just a moment, all the same, according to the same standard. Listen to a couple of verses, I think, from other passages of Scripture that may shed a little bit of light on this. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let me say this. I've heard this mispreached, which means, you know, they try to scare people into living for the Lord. And they say, you know, one day we're going to stand before the Lord and your life is going to be up on a big screen. And everyone's going to know all that you see and they're going to everything that you thought and every word you said and everything you did. Your life is going to be played out on the big screen before people. Well, that's not accurate biblically, okay? That's not what the Bible teaches. It's far more scary than that. It's a one-on-one accounting of the way you live this life for Jesus Christ to God Himself. It's you and God, period. The Scripture gives absolutely no indication that there's going to be anybody else involved but you and God, period. You better understand, your life is going to be before God. You will give an account of your life to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive the things done in His body according that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. The idea of bad is not sin. Let me say this. And this passage has been mispreached. You're not judged for sin at the judgment seat of Christ. That was judged on the cross. But you will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, whether your works are good or have value, or whether they are, the word bad there means literally worthless. They have no value. 1 Corinthians 3 kind of sheds a little more light on that, where the Bible tells us this. Every man's work shall be made manifest or revealed for what it truly is. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built around, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Here's the idea. The works done for Christ, focused on pleasing Christ for His glory, by His grace, that is going to be rewarded. Those things that were done, we could put it here in our context, he that doeth wrong, things that aren't done in a way that is pleasing to God, will suffer loss. There'll be no reward. And so the challenge is to us to realize this. My life has eternal value, has eternal benefit. There is eternal reward in no matter what area of life God has called me to do. I need in my line of work, whatever my vocation is, I need to serve Christ. He is my focus. And no matter what I do, I'm going to obey my masters according to the flesh. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to be someone who is constantly bucking. I'm going to be a Christ-like influence and impact wherever God places me. I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability, not so that I can be praised by man, but so because I love the Lord, I'm doing it as the Lord, not unto men. I love God. I want to please Him. And I have a confidence. I know that while no one else may recognize it and no one else may honor it, that God Himself will one day reward me for being faithful to His Word and living out the gospel in my vocation. The second exhortation we see tonight is this, and this is really the short part here. He gets to chapter 4 and verse 1, which is where we'll end tonight. There's only one verse dedicated in this text to this position. He says, number 2, be a good employer. Okay, you're an employee or you're an employer. Okay, which one are you? What position of authority? If you want to, I believe you can make a great application and say, maybe you don't own the company, but you have a position of authority in it. You are a boss of some type, maybe in a managerial position or some type. The idea here is be a good employer or be a good boss. Look what the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. That's all he says. But what he says is critical, and we need to obey it. Let's look at the verse a little bit. He says, give. The word give here means to provide or to give deliberate care. The idea here is that you know the needs of the people under you, and you are putting effort into providing those needs. Now let's put it together with the rest of the verse. Look with me, please. He says, give unto your servants that which is what? Just and good. The servants would be the idea of your employees, that which is right, fair, equitable. And he says, look at the next word, knowing. There's that word know again. Be assured. He says that ye also have a master in heaven. Praise the Lord, God doesn't do this to us, but can you imagine, for those of you perhaps who are a boss, if God treated you the way that you treat the people under you? If you are born again, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you have a position of authority, whether you own your own company, whether it's some type of managerial position, whatever, you are an authority in the workplace. You better remember this truth. He says, you better remember, never forget, you have a master in heaven. You say, what's the idea of that phrase? You are accountable to Him. And He's watching you. By the way, as your master and Lord, He has told you this is how you treat your employees. The idea is He is watching to see if you are going to follow His directives in the way He has told you to treat the people under you. What a challenge for us to realize we are to treat them right and fair in every area. Now, this is sad. I could give you several illustrations. One in particular, there was a Christian businessman who owns a very successful business who hired a personal friend of mine to come into the business. When he did, the man that he hired, my friend, was very gifted in the field in which he was brought in to do. And when he came in, he was made a lot of promises. Oh, man, I'm going to get your salary. It's going to be good. I'm going to give you bonuses. This is my personal favorite. I'm buying 2 Lexuses for the company. You're getting one. I'm like, yeah, sounds good to me. He goes in, he labors, he prospers, he helps the company. And in a nutshell, every promise made was broken. And the man, the guy that he hired, my friend, was struggling to even pay his rent for his home and provide for his family because the promise of the salary being increased never happened. You look at that and you say, that stinks. That's not fair. Should a Christian employer treat an employee in that way? No, absolutely not. Understand this. It may be something that is that blatant, or it may be something that's maybe not quite so blatant. But the reality is, if you're an employee, if you are a boss, you have an opportunity to show the reality of your relationship with Christ to those under you. I want to now, as we close tonight, I want to take the work environment as a whole, as a manager, as an employer, employee, whatever. And I want to quote a verse to help you see the necessity, how critical it is for us to be what Christ wants us to be, to live out the gospel in the workplace. You know what Matthew 5:16 says? Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are going to have opportunities as you go out into the workforce to touch the lives of unsafe people. And if you are living out the power of the gospel by obeying the word in these areas, you are reflecting Christ and the power of the gospel in you. And God can use your testimony where you work to be a light to point people to Jesus Christ and to be a testimony for His glory. That is the reality of living out our relationship with Christ in our vocations. Two challenges. Be a good, a godly employee. Be a godly employer for the glory of Christ. Why? Because that is what Christ has commanded us to be. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me tonight? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed together this evening. Just a moment. As we've done every night, we'll give you an opportunity to respond as God may have led in your heart to God's Word. Can I ask you this, for those of you who have a job already, whether it's here at Maranatha or off-site, a quote-unquote secular job, what kind of testimony do you have where you work? Are you reflecting the life of Christ in you? Are you following good work ethics, a good work habit? Is your light shining to those around you, or is your testimony hurting the cause of Christ? Perhaps tonight you just need to acknowledge to God what you need to be, and maybe there's some failures and shortcomings in one of these areas in your life. Or maybe you say, you know, I'm not aware of anything that I'm really necessarily doing wrong, but this certainly is a challenge to me. But I would invite you and encourage you to at least ask God to help you to live out your relationship with Christ by being obedient in these passage, according to this passage, so that your life will reflect Christ and point others to Him no matter what you're doing. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe even here you've been kind of battling authority that you work under, being critical, falling short maybe, not fulfilling your responsibilities. You say, you know what? I need to start doing it all for Christ, serving Him. Whatever your need may be tonight, I trust that you'll respond as God has spoken to you. In a moment, we'll stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. They'll play softly a hymn in a moment. You can respond by praying in your seat or where you stand. If you need to come to the front and pray, that's fine. Or if you would like some counsel with someone, you may do that as well. But I trust that if God's dealt with your heart, that you'll obey His Word. Father, help us to be obedient to Your truth. Lord, this is a truly important area of our lives, and I ask that it would be tonight an impact in our life to help us to have a right focus on who we are truly serving, no matter what we do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Would you please stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to your heart, I invite you to respond to God's truth.